You may be seated. Good morning again. Thank you for greeting us lowlanders so warmly. It's great. You're a faithful group to come out here and see me on a Saturday morning. I have to say I'm amazed by that. Were I to suggest that to just about any of my flock in the Diocese of Olympia, I think they'd probably think I was truly crazy and lost my mind. And yet here you are. And I'm very grateful that we're here together. When I first came to this diocese, which if we add you to the list, you're the farthest east by far. All right. I mean, another diocese is like just spitting distance from here, you know, where it starts. But when I first came here, I saw this on the list of properties and churches, St. Bernard's Chapel at Snoqualmie Pass. And yet I never really saw it appear on my visitation schedule or anything else for that matter. So after I'd been here a while, I found out where the bathrooms were, as they might say. And I did find out where your bathrooms are, like today, a quarter mile down the road. But it was offered, and I know this well from where I'm from, just might want to find a truck out there. And I did. I'm not telling you which one, but... So after all that, I finally asked, what is St. Bernard's Chapel? And the first answer I got from our then canon for finance was, well, it's a long story. And I said, well, I'd love to hear it. And so eventually I did hear some of it, just the essentials, you might say. It ended with this, we, meaning we Episcopalians, don't have much going on up there. And so you'll probably never get called on to visit or do anything. And I did actually once come up here skiing, and I called Bill Goodenough, who used to be our property person, and asked him where it was. And he said, well, describe where you are. And I told him, he said, you're practically on top of it. I'm not sure what I was expecting, but I was not expecting to be right here in the center of things. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I thought it was wonderful, and I thought that it's probably about as much as I will have to do with this. And then the last few months happened, and that long story got longer and much more interesting, and now I'm here with you today, and I can tell you I'm very grateful for that. I want you all to know that my intent would be to simply be a friend to you in all the ways we can. One part of that long story is the very real fact that you in this room, and probably many who are not here in this room and are not here with us anymore on this earth, have been such tremendous stewards of this holy space. We just want to join you in that. I'm telling you, that's the most amazing part of this long story to me. You have truly exemplified what community means. We've experienced it in the 20 minutes we've been here today. And I know community is filled with good and bad. I see looks on your face, I know. And I'm just so blessed to be part of it with you today, and I hope as you see fit in the days and years to come. It's fitting that we have the reading from Ezekiel talking about the people who have been scattered across the earth, coming together again, talking about the mountains of Israel, which quite frankly are beautiful, but can't hold a candle to these mountains. That reading and the passage from the Gospel of John we just read are supposed to go together. The idea out of both of those is that out of many, we are one. No matter the labels we might use or the flags we might fly, when our allegiance is with God, we are one. Even in our disagreements, our differences, the distances between us, in the gospel, that oneness is accomplished through the acts of Jesus. And you may be able to tell by my accent that I'm not from around here. I came here from Austin, Texas, and before that grew up in Arkansas, so I talk funny, I get that. Back there in the South, there's a religious phenomenon still lived out in places called the revival. And if you're really doing it right, it's a tent revival, where literally a tent's erected in the parking lot of an abandoned business or in a cow pasture or wherever there's room. And for a week, every night, the preacher preaches Jesus Christ and salvation and the saving of souls. And I have to admit, I've been to quite a few of those, and all I really miss now from them are the sights and the smells, the summer air, the people, and if you were really lucky, fried chicken, lemonade, and watermelon. I don't miss so much the message, which was usually pretty damning and scary. I reminisce about all of that to say that on this Saturday, as we make our acquaintance and continue that long story of this place and the long story of our faith, on the eve of the end of Lent and the beginning of Holy Week, these readings kick off that tumultuous and sacred pilgrimage that we go on every year. And I would submit that if we, sacramental people, have a revival week, this is it, the one coming up. Holy Week, that's our revival week. We do it differently than the tent revivals of my memory, and I don't want to reclaim the preaching from those, and you will be glad of that, not just for content, but even more for length. Those sermons could go on literally for hours. I'm of the school that we ought to be able to say what we need to say a bit more quickly and perhaps even more effectively than that. I don't want to reclaim that, but I would not mind reclaiming how it brought us together and reminded us of who we are called to be when we're called Christians. I wouldn't mind the fried chicken and lemonade either. Palm Sunday is tomorrow, and then the week ahead is Holy Week, our revival week. It's a journey that even though we know how the story ends, we relive and retell it every year so that we don't forget and so that we can be reminded and recommitted to that walk. Now up here, I'm not sure you'll get to do all the Holy Week services. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Travel it on your own, realizing that this is another great thing about our oneness in Christ and our belief in the great cloud of witnesses that we're never alone. No matter how you walk the Holy Week pilgrimage, all I would suggest is that you pay attention this week a little more. And if you do, you will surely note that actually, I was wrong in what I just said. The story hasn't ended. That's wrong. The story goes on even today, and now it includes you and me. They told me when I asked about this place, well, it's a long story. Indeed, it is a long one, a good one, and one that has not ended, and one that I'm glad we're on together. So bless you all. See, this is not like a revival. Because I'm done. My sisters and brothers, I have said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.